Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today we're doing a part two podcast. If you have not heard the first one, go back and listen because we have a special guest, and that's Anasuya Basil. Anasuya has over 20 years working with midlife women to overcome the struggles of aging so they feel terrific in their bodies and can express their skills and wisdom with confidence. And I'm so pleased that she's back. Last podcast, we talked about chocolate chip cookies, and that's one of my favorite things, but we also talked about how to do it in a healthy way. So go back and listen to that. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Doing great, Eric. This is Esther. I'm so happy that we have another session with Anasuya Basil. How Me are too. You doing today, Anasuya?
I'm great, and I'm really looking forward to talking about this some more.
Me too. Well, there's so much to talk about here. And just for a brief review, Anasuya had and I have worked together, continue to work together, but especially work together during my own time of challenging loss. Anasuya is not only certified in acupressure and cranial sacral therapy, both of which were modalities that were really important to me as well. We won't be talking as much about body work today. We'll be talking more about her approach with holistic nutrition, of which she also holds a certificate in. And what we're really focusing on is, from my perspective as a personal financial planner and advisor, I work with women going through transition, helping them land on a very firm financial footing so that they can face their life moving forward with confidence and with ease. And I cannot approach that without addressing that this is a holistic situation. One can't just separate out mind from body from spirit. So I'm really excited to hear more about the support that Anasuya has through her firm. And actually, Anasuya, I might throw you off a little bit here, but you called your firm My Body Wisdom. Can you talk a little bit about why you named your firm that?
Sure. Well, I call my practice My Body Wisdom because I just really believe in the importance of developing body awareness. When we have more body awareness, we then know how to take care of ourselves in our unique way. We can listen to experts and then try what they say, but if we don't pay attention to how we feel, then we can't adjust for our unique needs. And I do believe that inside of each of us, our bodies hold a wisdom. They are always yearning and striving for health and wellness. And when we listen to that, we can support that natural urge of the body and feel our best.
Absolutely. And I'm curious, as we move forward today to our topic about what happens when our body is under stress of transition. We talked about that a lot a couple of weeks ago. Can you talk more about how stress and challenging times affect the body, some of the ways that these times affect the body?
Yeah, they really have a strong effect on our bodies. So when we are under stress, the adrenal glands are these little glands that sit right on top of the kidneys in our lower back. And these adrenal glands secrete cortisol. And that is one of the hormones that helps us deal with stress. So we think there's danger approaching in some way. We get that heightened feeling like, oh, we have to do something, something's happening. And the adrenals secrete cortisol. They create adrenaline, also known as epinephrine, and that helps mobilize our body to face this challenge and meet it. Like, and as we said before, it's the exact same hormone is secreted from the adrenals if we are facing a tiger as if we're facing a divorce or we're facing a new job or any other stressor. And so thinking about how can I support the adrenals so that they don't become depleted in the face of ongoing stress. It's a really good thing to think about. And having regular protein in meals, something we talked about, that actually specifically really helps our adrenals. Those proteins support the production of those stress hormones. And also, I want to say that the greatest concentration of vitamin C anywhere in the body is in the adrenal glands, because they need that in order to produce those hormones. And so, vitamin C is really important when facing stress. So you can get that from, you know, we think of oranges and lemons. They're also in red peppers. It's in broccoli and green peppers and Brussels sprouts and things like that. So having those foods in our diet do help our adrenals respond to stress. Unrelenting stress really has a negative effect on our bodies in many ways. It's okay on a temporary basis to have a slowdown in your digestion, but you can see if this happens day in and day out, your body says, okay, I can't digest because I have to face this tiger. And so you start to not digest your food well and not absorb nutrients as well. And that means that all the other systems in their body are not functioning as well. So worse digestion is a big problem when you have unrelenting stress. And then it also throws off our hormonal balance. It's really interesting because when we make cortisol, we take away the ability to make estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone, because our body says, you know what? Reproduction is not so important. You know, it's more important to make cortisol. And I always think of this study, it's an older study from the 40s in World War II, when a doctor was on the Italian front. He was a colonel, or he had a high position. And so he had these infantrymen under him. And he actually, because he was a doctor, he took blood samples before and after combat, and he measured their testosterone. And he found out that before combat, their testosterone levels were at a level of a normal 18, 19, 20-year-old man. After combat, they were at the level of a 70-year-old man, because they had to take that energy from making testosterone and put it into cortisol to face combat. And so even women create a little testosterone, but it has the same effect on our estrogen and progesterone.
So when you talk about, you know, it affects digestion, I mean, that sounds like maybe that's uncomfortable, but tell me more about what's the impact of having slower digestion.
Yeah. So it's like, if you sit down to a meal, or you don't sit down, you eat in a car, you eat standing up because you're so busy. It's like your abdomen is tight and your energy is going to your extremities a lot, to our shoulders and jaw. And so we don't secrete digestive juices. So we don't break down the food completely. That can lead to things like fermentation in the stomach and create GERD or esophageal reflux, so we can get heartburn. It can also just mean that we are not digesting our food and it's passing through our system without us receiving the benefit of those nutrients. Mm-hmm. It can lead to more bloating and gas and discomfort and pain. And so that is something that, a sign that we're not digesting our food properly.
Mm-hmm. And so when we're going through a difficult time, it's hard to really focus well on how to best take care of ourselves through it if we're just not comfortable in our bodies.
Yeah. And so sometimes, yes, we get drawn to eating comfort foods when maybe a warm soup or stew, and making sure that we sit down and take a deep breath before we eat, maybe three deep breaths before we eat, because when we do deep breaths, you can just feel how just very subtly things start to soften, and that makes your stomach more ready to receive the food and digestive juices there.
So how else does, you know, the adrenals, it's so interesting. I had no idea that vitamin C was such an impact on adrenals. I just always think of that as, well, you have a cold, you take vitamin C. So I guess that comes from the body's under stress when you have a cold. So that's helpful. What other ways does it impact our bodies to have this level of stress?
Well, I think one that's super important for people going through transition is that it can lead to brain fog, that inability to focus, that concentration. It's just like, just when you have like this mountain of paperwork to go through to deal with these changes in your life, mm-hmm. it's like you can't focus or concentrate. And, you know, part of that is a result of a long-term stress response. So brain fog is a common side effect.
And the brain fog is, it's being challenged completing tasks. Are there other symptoms of brain fog? Or I know when I've experienced it, it is very hard to focus. I guess focus is the biggest challenge. Is there more than that to brain fog?
Well, it's, you know, hard to manage your emotions because you can just imagine when you're under stress, it just takes up a lot of neurotransmitters to feel whether it's extreme joy or extreme stress. You know, sometimes even like going through a wedding, you're very happy to get married, but it's also like there's a certain stress around it too. And so there's a lot of neurotransmitters being used. So you have to eat to be happy too. But it's also, that difficulty focusing and concentrating and coming up with the right words and just being patient to sit with tedious tasks is something that I think is very hard to do. Now, good eating habits will help, but I do find on the short term, there's a supplement that I may suggest to some of my clients to help. You know, the tendency is to go for caffeine.
Right.
But unfortunately, caffeine has an after effect of can lead to more brain fog. We can feel good at first, but then there's a crash that can follow. And so if you're having more caffeine than your body can handle, we're all different about how much we can detoxify and handle, then it can lead to a lot more brain fog. And instead of caffeine, what some people find really helpful is something called acetyl L-carnitine. So it's L-carnitine, which is an amino acid, and it's an acetylated version, which means that it can cross the blood-brain barrier. So acetyl L-carnitine is something that I take to help me focus. And I notice that when I take it, within 20 minutes, I'm much more able to focus. I don't feel stimulated. I don't feel anything particular. I only notice that I've taken it when at the end of the morning, I'm like, wow, I got through a lot and I kept my focus.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's doing is it's actually crossing the blood-brain barrier and it's supporting the mitochondria or the energy generators. So mitochondria, there's a lot of them in the brain because the brain uses up a lot of energy and we need to take care of our mitochondria, and acetyl L-carnitine helps, you know, feed the mitochondria.
Hmm. And so are you, I just want to check, are you suggesting that people stop drinking caffeine?
Well, I would experiment with finding the level of caffeine that really works with your body. So it's an addictive substance in the scheme of things. It's a really mild vice, right? It's a really mild addiction. But at the same time, if you're having 4 cups of coffee and you stop, you're going to feel horrible because you'll go through the physiological withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do cut back on caffeine, just do it really slowly. And so what I've done over time, I have found I love black tea and feel so nice to have that in the morning. And what I do is I make a nice pot and I actually throw out the first brew. So I brew it for about 30 to 60 seconds. I throw that down the sink and I rebrew it. And that takes out quite a bit of caffeine. And so I'm able to drink it without getting in any way like jittery or stimulated. And I could skip a day of that beverage without noticing any withdrawal symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know sometimes if people hear take out caffeine, then the mind shuts off to anything else because it's so scary to think about letting that one go. So
yes, and it's just, that is, you know, anything that we're addicted to, the mind is going to say, no way.
Right.
No way. I mean, that's just the nature of addictions, whether they're small or great. But, you know, having compassion for our brain, being very gentle and just only like lowering the amount slowly, finding the substitutes that you like, that work for you, is a nice way to do it. And you find that you actually feel better energy, more solid energy, and more clarity. And it's worth it.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, we're talking about caffeine and being stimulated and focus and ways to use like the acetyl L-carnitine as a way to help the mitochondria in our, would it be fair to say it's in our brains or is it all through our cells?
The mitochondria are all through our cells and they're especially there in our hearts, in our muscles, in our brains.
Okay. So there's a different alternatives to stimulation that is much more healthy and supportive of a sustained experience of focus and health and decision-making. Now, what do we talk about at the end of the day? Because what I hear from a lot of women is they're really challenged with sleep. So that's very common, as I'm sure you experience. What can you tell us about how to increase our ability to get good sleep?
Well, just to circle back to the caffeine discussion, if we're having trouble sleeping, then we really need to reduce our caffeine. And I do suggest that people maybe once or twice a year just have a time where they very slowly reduce so that they can have a couple weeks where they see what their body is like without caffeine, because a lot of us don't know really what our body is like when without it. And so that gives us a really good hint. But at least just cut back your caffeine and see how that improves your sleep. I find my clients often have better sleep with less caffeine. And then before bed, it's really good to, like, alcohol is another thing that is hard on sleep. So another reason not to have alcohol and to find other ways of relaxation besides alcohol. It might help you get to sleep, but it'll make you wake up in the middle of the night and not get back to sleep. So avoiding alcohol and then magnesium before bed can be really helpful. Magnesium is a mineral and we use up a lot of magnesium when we're under stress. It's used for over 300 different biochemical reactions in our body. So we use a ton of it up and it's one of the most common deficiencies in the United States. So it actually can help muscle cells release. So muscle cells contract and then magnesium helps them release. And before bed, some people find that super helpful. Some people I realize are sensitive to melatonin and others are not. I am one of those people who is sensitive to melatonin. And if I have that before bed, within 20 minutes, I cannot keep my eyes open. It doesn't work for everybody. But another supplement that can be helpful for sleep is called 5-HTP, which is a form of the amino acid tryptophan, which goes to make serotonin. And serotonin is like a feel-good neurotransmitter. It's going to be used. You may need more support with that. When people take SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, they are allowing their nerves to get more uses out of the same molecules of serotonin. And so that can help them with relieved depression and help with sleep as well. But it doesn't actually give you any more molecules of serotonin. It doesn't actually create any. Whereas 5-HTP helps your body create more molecules of serotonin. And so ideally you take 5-HTP not when you're taking SSRIs or antidepressants, but you can take them together, but best under guidance. But that can actually really help your body as well. And then there are some herbs that are very relaxing. Valerian is one. Passion flower is another. So you can take these as tinctures or capsules before bed, or even just like in the last hour before bed to help you unwind and to really think of the hour before your bedtime as your sacred unwinding time, whether you do journaling or gratitude writing or stretching or having a hot bath. Those are all things to help you prepare for sleep.
Right. And most people use that time to watch television.
I know. I know. And that can be very stimulating. And so it's good to, like, I find I kind of have to like set an alarm to like to say, okay, after a certain amount of time, I'm not going to, you know, use devices and then unhook from there and go to sleep and sort of reintroduce the whole practice of reading as a little bit more restful before sleep rather than watching.
Right. It's quiet. You know, you've mentioned a number of different supplements, and it can be an area of skepticism. How do you overcome the skepticism, and how do people know what to avoid when purchasing? I mean, the skepticism, as you know, is people say, well, it's tests are done and they don't do anything and it's just a scam. How do you overcome that issue?
Well, there are studies that say that having a multivitamin every day is beneficial. And so there, you can find these studies in, you know, the National Institute of Health on PubMed, which is a big place where they have all these scientific studies. And I feel like there's a lot of reasons why we're not getting adequate nutrition between our agricultural practices, the soil getting depleted, the way we grow food they've done studies to show that there's less minerals in them today than they were, you know, 50 years ago. So we get less minerals and vitamins in our food. And as I say, if we're going through transition and going through a lot of stress, you're using up a lot. You're revved up high, so you're using up more. And there's such a big range of quality. Like there are some products that are very, very low potency, and they're using the most unabsorbable forms of the nutrients. And I would say, yeah, that would be a little bit of a waste. But if you have a good quality supplement, I don't think getting supplements in a drugstore is the best place to get a supplement. They're better from a good health food store, or from, as a professional nutrition consultant, I can order from professional supplement lines and have my clients order that way. I've just had really good results. Now, even when I was in my 20s, I always felt that if I took a multivitamin, I got through stress better. And so I learned from a very young age that I do better with a multivitamin. The thing is, you just don't feel it when you take it at the time. You feel it like a month later. You feel like this general feeling of greater stamina and balance.
Right. So it's just having the support through that month.
Yeah.
Going through it. I know too, with the brain fog and the other, mainly the brain fog, the ability to focus, avoidance of other colds and flus and all of that. I there are certain supplements that I would not want to do without either. And you're so helpful about guidance of navigating these different supplements. So I just want to encourage others to consider taking advantage of all this knowledge that you have. And you have a special program coming up that would be a wonderful introduction for people. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I have a group detox program that's starting at the end of April. And this is a wonderful time for people who really want to take some of these things that we've talked about and put them in practice. It's sometimes overwhelming to think about it all by yourself. Mm-hmm. But to do it in a group setting is really, really helpful to so that you can stay on track and really be amazed at how much progress you can make towards really having healthy eating habits that support your life. And we just meet each week for about 5 weeks, and we increase healthy foods, we decrease unhealthy foods, we take the high quality supportive supplements. And, you know, we just really try different things and report back to each other once a week so that you feel motivated and encouraged to make these changes, and you hear what other people are doing, and that is like really engaging. So it's fun, and I always feel like we make so much progress together as a group.
And do you make people absolutely get rid of all sugar, all dairy, all caffeine, all alcohol, all gluten, all eggs, all of that? Or is that a requirement for people to participate?
No, I'm not a drill sergeant type of nutrition consultant. I really feel a lot of compassion for what people are going through. And I also have a lot of trust in people's abilities to tune into themselves and say, you know what? I can get my caffeine down to one cup a day. I've been doing 6 cups a day. If I can get it down to one cup a day, that is huge progress. I mean, the goal is to have an experience of being caffeine free at some point in your life, but maybe it's not this time. I just want to see progress, not necessarily perfection. And everybody is coming in at different levels. For some people, that would not be an issue. and they would have something else that they want to, that's their edge of making changes. So there's a lot of compassion, there's a lot of understanding, and not, there's no judgment about what we do. The more you do in the context of what you can handle is where you get the best results.
Right. And how do people find out more about this? How do they connect with you?
The best way to connect is go to my website, which is www.mybodywisdom.net, mybodywisdom.net. And there's a sign up there to get on my mailing list, and you receive the gift of an ebook called Midlife Renewal for Women, which has some of this information in it. And when you're on my mailing list, you'll be the first to know about when the group teeth talks and when I have any of my programs presented.
Thank you so much. I really encourage everyone to participate as they are able in a program like this coming up right around the corner at the end of April. And it really is a supportive, really interesting and involved process to go through some making some of these changes in health and seeing how our bodies respond. And it's true that whatever stage you're in right now of transition, if it's really difficult and challenging, or if you're coming through the other side, having a good connection with our physical health. I am sure listeners all know somebody who maybe they're very wealthy, but they don't feel very well physically. And it makes such a difference to support good health throughout our lives, regardless of the changes and transitions going on, to always come back to that place of strength within and to get the support we need to return to that place. So Anasuya, thank you so much for everything you shared with us today.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Eric. Please close us out today, Eric.
You bet. Anasuya, thank you so much. I want to just thank you for loving your clients and loving the people that come to your groups enough to be able to say, you know what, take the first step. It doesn't have to be a marathon. It doesn't have to be a sprint. Take that first step and we're here with you. Esther and I have talked about this a lot as far as accountability and having somebody that's just in your corner cheering you on. And I think that's the person that you are. After listening to you for these last two podcasts, I think you're fantastic. Thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
You bet. And Esther, thank you for bringing her. I mean, that wouldn't happen without you. So thank you so much for inviting her to the show.
Oh, I'm just so fortunate to have Anasuya Basil as one of my support team on Team Esther. So thank you.
Absolutely. And the last thank you goes to everyone listening today. Thank you for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This will make it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. And that one woman that you're thinking of right now that really just needs to hear that there are women out here like this that are there to support them and help them through whatever transition they're in or whatever is causing them to lose some sleep at night. There's people that are here just waiting to help you out. So share this podcast with them, would you? And thanks again for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.